Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And Tony Gasselli.
Caller analyst, Jeff Lagerman.
And Tony Gasselli.
And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher.
And Tony Gasselli.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening and welcome to the final 1 hour Jaguars This Week of 2012. Next week, it's 2 hours all the way. Full crew in here this evening, led by Joe Fortunato. Hi, Joe. Jeff Loggeman across the table, Tony Baselli, John Osher, he of the Ozone. How are you, John?
I'm good, Brian. Thanks for asking.
He is not only of the Ozone, he is also of Jaguars.com video celebrity. I just want to tell you, this is a great feature. I mean, Jaguars.com, correct me if I'm wrong, they're doing a daily Inside the Jaguars video report that includes quotes and notes and everything that's going on at training camp. Is that right, John?
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. John, J.P. Shadrick, I jump in every now and again. It's a good feature to have if you want some Jaguars.
Who's J.P. Shadrick?
News. J.P. Shadrick.
He's a new he's
communications coordinator.
With Dan.
Go to Jaguars.com and see who he is.
What about during the season?
He is going to be our new sideline reporter on Jaguars Radio.
There you go, Jeff.
Now, we got everything covered. How about dinging it once for yourself for your good idea with the records in the tortilla bowls earlier?
I'm telling you, that's wrong.
You missed it. They had an ad.
I saw
for the tortilla bowls. Makes the perfect tortilla.
Yeah.
Joe pipes up. Jeff's working. I'm typing a report. John's sitting here doing something. All of a sudden,
I got
stop.
An idea.
What do you mean an idea? He goes, you put a record
feed the tuna fish mayonnaise. No, go ahead.
If you put a record, right, a vinyl record on top of one of those bowls, it will melt into the shape of the bowl, and don't you have a nifty little dish
something
for your
to
chips
sell.
In your dip?
Made out of a record.
Out of a record.
Or put anything in it. Just
that
a
is,
bowl.
That is stupid.
Kids all over Jacksonville are saying, Mommy, what's your record?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I went online.
First of all, where are you going to find them?
They got them already.
He's got every one.
Somebody already came up with the idea, so. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Ryan.
On to football, ladies and gentlemen. 2 days now down, full pads practices. And your thoughts as we gear up for a scrimmage on Friday night?
Well, my impression today is that I don't know if you guys noticed, but in the first couple days of practice, they had local officials that were working practices. Obviously, the NFL and the NFL referees are at an impasse in negotiations, and so they're talking about using replacement officials. This morning's practice and this afternoon's practice, they had four guys that were being directed by one of the former NFL officials, I guess, trying to get them as game ready as possible, because the league may end up starting with replacement officials. And there were four guys out there today, and I think that's a concern.
And I believe they're going to work the scrimmage as well on Friday.
Yeah, I think that's a
they're
concern.
High school officials.
Well, I mean, I think they come from all different areas, but.
No, they are.
It's amazing. So, I mean,
some of the instruction that they were getting today clearly shows that they're a long way from being, you know,
it's
amongst the Ed Hockeyleys of the world.
It's amazing we're going to have high school less than college officials.
No offense to the high school guys.
None.
I mean, they do a good job. But
the game's a little bit faster.
Game. Well, and can you imagine the first time a high school official has to put his head underneath that monitor and do instant replay?
On Monday Night Football.
A completely different experience altogether. But,
you know, Goodell came out today and said he is comfortable with the replacement refs.
Well, he said he's comfortable, and Ray Anderson, who is vice president of operations at the NFL League Office, said we have evaluated them, and we are very confident of them doing a credible job.
Rephrase that. We are not going to give any leverage to our existing officials in this contract negotiation.
I hope they can get it resolved because, having met some of them personally over the years, and watching them week in and week out, they are very good.
They take a lot of pride in their work.
They are
their
the best of the best.
Yep.
And Ed Hockley's got the best arms of an official. And I don't care whether you're high school, college, or pro. You know, I mean, these guys are the best. No, they are.
The best.
For real, no joking aside, they're the best of the best.
Right. And the game's so much faster than anything. Forget high school. I mean, even the college officials going up to the professional level, it happens in a split second, and you have to make split second decisions. And then as players, and you're going to hear DeMore Smith and the PA probably chime in here, and they've had a little bit, it's a protection of the players issue and the game and everything else. And so, you know, are they going to use that as a leverage piece and start getting into the fray?
Well, the Hall of Fame game is Sunday. The first Monday night game is Monday, right? This coming Monday, I believe.
Let me pull out the old preseason schedule.
So,
it's here.
There's got to be a resolution here pretty quick, and hopefully it will happen.
They opened the preseason Sunday night with Arizona, New Orleans, right? But then they don't resume play again until Thursday night.
Okay, that's the first quote-unquote Monday night football game. Is that right?
No, that's when preseason kicks off. I think Monday night football is the following
Monday. Monday the 13th, yeah.
Okay.
So the Jaguars play against the Giants here on Friday the 10th, and then the following Monday is the first Monday night
Thursday night's the first opening day with the rest of the league.
Right, yeah. Well, hopefully it gets resolved because, you know, they are amazing, you know, because – You know, a lot of people criticize them at home because, you know, the people at home and people in the stands, they get the benefit of instant replay. They don't get that benefit when they do that. And for the percentage of calls that they get right, and also with, I believe, is some extreme rules changes over the last couple of years, I think the NFL has put that much more pressure on them and that much more responsibility on them with a lot of the, you know, player safety issues.
Oh, the dangerous hits?
Yeah.
Can you imagine a high school official going from a high school game to sitting in center field, the deep official, and a pass across the middle and having to make a split-second call whether that was he was leading with his helmet, his shoulders, was it a defensive receiver? I mean, just
– Well, and the rule book is –
Well, the regular guys couldn't do it last year.
Yeah, I mean, they
had a hard time.
They couldn't get it right. I mean, it's hard to get right.
Right. It's very hard to get
right. How about the umpire roaming the middle of the field? A little bit different than when you have Bowles versus
– No, it's the same with
– Bishop Kenny. It's a little bit different, a little more dangerous.
With, you know – MJD coming right at you.
Yeah, right.
No update on that, John Wright. General Manager Gene Smith spoke today after the morning practice.
I was going to say, these officials could probably, the officials who aren't in could probably, you know, ref Maurice Jones.
Yeah, that's a good
game.
Point because he won't be here either. I wonder if they're all hanging out.
Right there somewhere in California.
Because Gene Smith talked today. He was sure he was asked a question about Justin Blackmon and Maurice Jones.
Right, and it's, you know, status quo.
No update.
Yeah,
no change.
Okay. Which I wouldn't expect much talk publicly on that.
Whether there was or not.
Yeah, from this team's end until there's movement, and movement is going to be signing.
There's
not going to be movement.
Well, there's nothing to talk about from the Jaguars' perspective with MJD.
Right. He's the one you know. He'll show when he's ready. It's the Blackmon thing.
Blackmon is the only – I mean, where there's any – whether there's negotiations or not. But there's nothing to –
And there's really minimal – discussion with Black. I mean, there's a little bit of wiggle room with Blackmon, but in terms of money, the money's agreed upon.
It's how it's distributed.
But here's why it gets, you know, to where you start to get to a critical stage. You know, they're practicing. The practice schedule is that I was talking to head coach Mike Mularkey about this yesterday morning. They're allowed a 3-hour practice that's full go. They're allowed 1 hour of basically a walkthrough. So, I mean, they're essentially in one-a-days. You know, then you have a walkthrough. But once a player signs, there's an acclimation period in which they have to end up working their way back to full pads, and it's a 3-day period. So the first day there are no pads. And so if the team is out there and they're going to be in pads, there's very limited amount of things that Justin Blackmon is going to be able to do basically in day 1, 2, and 3, and day 4 is when he's going to be back up to being able to go full speed. So, I mean, not only is he missing the time that he hasn't been here, but then when he gets here, he's essentially going to be missing parts of a full padded practice because he can't participate.
Basically, if Justin Blackmon walked through these doors right now, he would not be able to participate in a full padded practice until Monday.
Well, and I'm thinking that if he's not here by tomorrow or Friday at the latest, he can't really expect to play in the first preseason game.
No.
I mean, maybe today might be the deadline for that, but you figure if he couldn't go full board till Sunday.
Well, no, Monday. If I understand the rules right, you could treat – if he came tonight, you could treat tomorrow as a non-padded practice. You could treat Friday night, the scrimmage, as a non-padded practice. You could do uppers on Sunday because they're off Saturday and then full on Monday.
I was off the rule book just a little bit, though, in terms of you wouldn't want to play him if he didn't have a couple of days
of practice. Oh, no, absolutely right.
And to make the point, you know, that rule was put in absolutely to protect the player because so many of these guys get hurt coming back quickly when they get into camp.
But Prince Amukamara was I read that today. So, he broke his foot. I didn't realize it was the day after he reported to camp he broke his foot.
Well, just to note, Prince Amukamara's agent.
Same guy.
Is the same agent as Justin Blackman.
Todd France, he's doing well. 2 for 2 last 2 years. Yeah, getting the last first-rounder into camp. Congratulations, Todd.
So, you know, and with the CBA rules of last year to have, you know, a first-round pick that held out 7 days, I mean, that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's got to get in here this week, don't you think? I mean, that's going
to
happen.
I thought he had to get agent, I thought he had to get here last week.
I thought Monday he would be here.
It's to the point where it's awfully hard to find reason for him not to be here. I mean, it makes no sense, and you can say what you want, but he put himself in this situation. And, you know, there's very little defense at this point.
All right.
Because the money's not going to change.
No, it is what it
is. It's just the structure of the money.
Well, if you have any confidence,
so in other words, you stay out of trouble.
You get all your money.
You'll get it.
Yeah,
and that's what's such a hard sell is. That's really the bottom line. You can talk everything else you want. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah, if you don't get in trouble, you're going to get your money.
Right.
And if you wouldn't have gotten in trouble the first time, this wouldn't be an issue, and we'd structure how you want
it. So there would be very, very, very little sympathy from anybody on the player's side in this one. Usually, you can see both sides.
You hope Justin's getting the right advice from.
Well, if all you're losing
is Mr. France,
if all you're losing is the distribution. But then you're really not losing that much. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Joe.
Thank you, BS. Hey, gang, listen up. This is important stuff. A limited number of half-pack season tickets are available now, and you get to build them yourself this year. And they start at just $200. What you do, you pick either the Giants or the Falcons preseason game. Then you pick two from the Texans, Bengals, Lions, and Titans. Then you pick two more from the Jets, Bears, Colts, and Patriots. Real easy to do. Just call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000, or visit jaguars.com/halfpacks. More of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna coming up right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. And this portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Football Fanatics. Brian.
Thank you, Joe. Brian Sexton, John Osher, Tony Buscelli, Jeff Loggeman. We're all here this evening. Fire it up at 355-NFL1, 355-6351. At Tony Buscelli, at John Osher, at Jags Voice for the Twitter.
And I got a question for you, Brian,
sure.
Because I didn't know this. I knew you were recording a Jaguars report and a little preview here.
Yep. Friday mornings.
Jaguars scrimmage Friday night. We're going to be live on the air from 7 to 8.
We're going
to
be live on Jaguars.com.
Jaguars.com.
Right.
And I didn't know this about head coach Mike Mularkey, and that tell people about this.
This was really, I mean, and he didn't tell me all this so that I would share it and put it in this light, but he and his wife Betsy have really fallen in love with Jacksonville, and he wants to create more than just a scrimmage. He wants a tradition. And in his words, he wants a Green Bay kind of tradition. So, you know, he brought the idea up, what if we had a donation to Wolfson Children's Hospital as part of the deal? What could we do? And so for a small donation, if you give, you know, a couple bucks, they will hand you a ticket, a scratch-off ticket. And 90 people will get one that says you won. And it will have directions on where they go to pick up one of the 90 jerseys that will be worn by the players
for the scrimmage. See, that's cool.
Yeah, it's real cool.
And the whole night, I mean, obviously the scrimmage, the autographs, parachute bringing in the game ball.
Bringing in the game ball. And then after the autographs, a fireworks show. And the whole deal is to make it a huge event that families want to be a part of every single year. They're going to do a lot more goal line and red zone live full contact stuff than they've done around here in the past. And all of it is designed to engage the fan. And, you know,
and he did all this.
He did all this. And it's one of the things that was important in hiring Mike Mularkey. And, John, you and I talked about this last spring. The head coach sets the tone for your franchise. He doesn't just lead the football side. He sets the tone for both sides.
And to Mike's credit, he's really taken that seriously, even
this
beyond.
This is an example of it, yep.
Even beyond that. I mean, he, it's been impressive to watch as his seriousness, his focus has sort of changed the mood and the tempo of the organization. It's been neat
well,
to see.
Well, there hasn't been either of those for a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the guy's a head coach. Yeah. I mean, that's what you get the sense of. He is a NFL head coach who takes his job very seriously. He's no nonsense.
Right.
But
it's
I think we've
football.
Seen that's not always the case.
That's my point. But he's disciplined. He is engaging. He cares deeply about the product that they put out there. and about how they're representing the
And he cares about how other people do their jobs. Yes. And here's the thing, Loggie. He can switch gears. Because we were talking football, and he switched gears on me that first Mike Mularkey show. And, folks, shameless plug, but if you haven't heard the coach on his radio show, he does an excellent job.
Yeah, he's good.
And he switched gears and started talking about this and what he wanted to achieve with it and what the organization could get from it. And what I didn't realize was two nights later, the night before training camp opens, he held a ladies' clinic out there with his entire coaching staff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, there's not many head coaches. And Tom Coughlin, God love him, would not have done that the night before camp began. He just wouldn't have done it. It's not the way that coaches work. But this one, and he told me personally, he understands how this market needs to grow. And he is not only trying to put a winner on the field, he's trying to help the franchise flourish.
Good guy.
Good guy, good coach, great move, I think.
I mean, I think it's a great move because it's going to be an entertaining night. And with the fireworks and everything else, and Jaguars.com, you can listen to the broadcast.
7-8.
7-8, by the way, in case I didn't mention that before. I think I did, but I'll mention it again there anyway.
Where is it again?
And 7-8, Jaguars.com.
Who's on it?
Me and Brian Sexton. Maybe an occasional hit from John Osher. We will have player interviews from the field, et cetera. J.P. Shadrick, our sideline reporter, will be working out some of that. Go to Jaguars.com and see the Jaguars Daily thing there. And also, just a little another news item here for the fans. After the scrimmage Friday night, the players are off on Saturday. The last practice that's open to the public is on Sunday, and that practice is at 3 o'clock. So if you're hoping to make a training camp practice, it's got to happen sometime before this Sunday. And remember, there are no practices on Saturday.
Right. It's a little shorter window Sunday. This year.
Well, it's a shorter window because the way the CBA now is everything's so much more condensed. You're basically two weeks before the first game.
Right.
15 days. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Real quick, a couple of guys did not practice this afternoon. The most notable is LaRon Robinson, the free agent wide receiver. Banged his head on the turf this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this morning he caught a pass, and it was right there kind of by the bleachers. And if folks have been out here, there's the natural grass. And then that field actually used to be the artificial surface that had the ground-up rubber in it. And where those two, when they changed it back to grass, they still had that buffer, which is almost like a piece of rubberized concrete that's about 3.5-4 inches wide, so it separates the rubber artificial surface from the grass. And when he landed, I saw this morning where it appeared the back of his helmet kind of hit that little divider, and I guess he's not didn't practice this afternoon, so my guess is it was related to that. So
yeah, Mike said it was, and I don't say it's a shame because I don't know that it's going to cost him that much time. But after a couple of days struggling over the weekend, he had really stepped up starting yesterday. Yeah, I mean, and today he had a couple of moves where he sort of broke wide open, and you started getting the feeling of, okay, this is something that's going to be there as an option during this. It's something we hadn't seen last year, frankly.
And it's still a work in progress. I mean, he had a drop this morning.
Sure.
I mean, Mercedes had a drop. Mike Thomas had a drop. I mean, it's still a work in progress, so it's going to take time.
But you saw progress.
Right. I was going to say, notice you said drop. And because, Gabbert's been getting nailed by the national bloggers and media for having bad days, and there have been more drops than bad passes.
There was a pass this morning. They ran a red zone drill, and Mercedes ends up running a route that brought him into the middle. And as he turned, Blaine delivered the ball. And I mean, it was perfect.
About as good a pass as you can throw in that situation.
I mean, it was a thing of beauty, and it hits Mercedes in the hand. He only got one hand up. I mean, to me, that's got to be caught.
Right.
And things like that, some of the national pundits, just all they do is they don't see the accuracy of the throw or the play, and all they're saying is, well, that ball's incomplete. And boy, Blaine Gabbert, what's wrong with him?
Yeah, most of the people who are criticizing Blaine nationally,
they have no clue. They haven't even been here.
They haven't been here. And it's difficult to assess if you're not here.
However, the readers in places like Denver and Phoenix and Minneapolis and Kansas City don't know that.
Sure.
And so
guess what?
It perpetuates the story.
Guess what? You want to know how you fix all that?
You win.
You win.
Right.
Other injury update, William Rackley, 3 to 4 weeks?
Yeah, it looks like he'll be out 3 to 4 weeks, which moves Jason Spitz in there for
my ankle sprain.
That duration.
One of the biggest concerns, it's a concern as far as injuries, is Eugene Monroe. nothing's been really said, but he has not practiced the last 2 days. His knee's wrapped up. No one is saying what it is. But I think I read Coach McGlarkey say he'll be out for the scrimmage?
Likely.
But likely out?
Which
is
yeah,
a concern. I mean, to me, your starting left tackle guy you're going to count on to probably block the best defensive end on the opposing team most days. Practice with no pads both days. Practice the one day with uppers. He looked good. And then yesterday came out and was on the bike.
And I get that. But isn't there, just an overcautious nature to this camp?
Well, it's just like Brad Meester.
To all camps.
You know,
now.
Brad Meester didn't practice yesterday morning because he's 13 years in the National Football
League.
Eugene
Nerudo is not.
No, I know. But you want to get him to the season. Yeah. Other things that are good to see. Uche Nwaneri's working his way back. Ashton Yabodi's working his way back. Rasheen Mathis took some reps this morning in team. You know, so a lot of these guys that were injured that
Terrence
didn't.
Terrence and Tyson were
Terrence
both
Terrence and Titan
today.
Both.
Terrence looks good.
Pads. Yeah, Tyson Alawalo, I thought looked much better than the first practice.
Moving a little bit better.
Moving a little bit better. So, I mean, all those things are starting to come around, and that's
but
a good
Terrence,
sign.
To me, just looks – see, you guys saw Terrence before that. I never saw Terrence before last year. How much quicker and more athletic does he look now than he did? I mean,
much, yeah. But he's still big.
Yeah, he is. All right, we break by sending it to you, Joe.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Sexton. Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime and anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. You will know more and get better on all things Jaguars if you listen to 5671 Ozone and the Eagle Scout right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna and season ticket owners. The Jaguars Refer-A-Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. All you got to do is refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. For more information on joining the Refer-A-Fan program, just call the Jaguars ticket office at 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Brian.
All right, rolling right along. Don't forget, scrimmage Friday night. I think 6 o'clock things get started. They're going to go through their pregame routine just to kind of get everybody in order.
6:30.
6:30 is when they're going to be on the field, and then I think the scrimmage starts at 7 with, as we said, some goal line and red zone mixed in there as well. Oh, I want to do this. Twitter, at Tony Baselli, at John Osher, at Jags Voice. We've got a question here from Justice who wants to know, some teams have open practice till the 15th. Why are the Jaguars closing practice on Sunday?
Well, I think partly because this is a new coaching staff. It's a new offensive system. It's a new defensive system, and they'd like to kind of keep it protected. If it's open to the public, then any NFL scout, advanced scout, whatever, can come and see what they're doing. If now, then once they get into that second week, if they close it up, you know, they got a lot of things they can work on that nobody can see.
Well, in all candor, I mean, it's getting smaller every day. And it will be a big night on Friday night. And there'll probably be a lot of people that will come out Sunday. But it's not as if you're closing and turning away thousands of people on a daily basis. So,
well, and you've got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 practices that will have been open to the public.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's quite a bit. So, like I said, you know, last one is on Sunday, and jump in there. Hey, during the break, we were talking about, with all the offensive line injuries, we were talking about this free agent group of rookie offensive linemen. And Tony, I know you've watched them. And the guys I'm talking about, Mike Brewster, the center from Ohio State, DJ Hall, Texas State guard, real low wide, Dan Hoke, free agent from Missouri, a guard, and Lee Barbiaz, did I pronounce that correct?
Yes.
A free agent tackle from Northern Colorado. You know, with all those guys having been hurt, they've had extensive playing time in the last two practices. They're not bodies.
And it was significant yesterday when all those guys got – I mean, I joked with Eben Britton yesterday. There was one point where Eben was the only guy, the only starter on the field, on the offensive line. And he said, yeah, who would have expected that last, December?
It's pretty good.
But, you know, Mike Markey's point after practice was, even losing those guys on a Tuesday, I believe that was, the offensive line did a nice job protecting, and it was better than the day before. So, as you say, Jeff, clearly those guys are, you know, not just bodies.
No, because, you know, a lot of times with the offensive line, and Tony, you've seen this.
Well, they just go get big bodies.
I mean, you just see guys, and you're just going, he has no chance of making this team.
Patrick Walsh, anybody?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like them.
Remember that kid?
Yeah,
I remember Pascal.
6'9" from UConn.
But, I mean, these guys are all legitimate. In fact, today in one-on-one pass rush, I think every one of them had moments where you went, nice. You know, and a lot of times in one-on-one, that's really where you go, oh, geez, he doesn't have any feet. You know, so, I mean, that's encouraging to me. I mean, hey, they always talk about how every injury creates an opportunity for someone else.
Absolutely.
And here's an opportunity for these young guys to show, and I think they're showing some things.
Well, and you meant, and I don't have his name, so, but number 74.
Dan Hope.
Mm-hmm. We watched him logs in one-on-one pass rush.
He was stoning guys.
He was blocking guys. I mean, there were camps where the rookie free agents could barely get out of their stance.
It'd be like a race.
Let me get them. Who could line up there first, and how quick could they get to the backfield?
I remember a lot of times you guys coming off the field sort of rolling your eyeballs at some of the guys who covered the team saying these guys are not good.
I remember walking off the field at the time saying, who went and found these guys?
I remember you saying that. Some of them were draft picks.
I'm
not going to say his name, but
well, hopefully Cameron Bradfield will get back. He's hadn't practiced yet. You know, he's been in a jersey. What's his injury, John?
Hamstring, I believe.
Hamstring,
but that's
are big guys allowed to have hamstrings? Are offensive linemen allowed to have hamstrings?
He is. He is a specimen.
Well, I know he's athletic.
I mean, you talk about physically. When he walked in the door, you're like, he's a rookie. One of them guys, I mean, just
so
you know,
he has muscles.
I could be wrong in the hamstring. I'm trying to remember what it was.
Well, he does need to get out there because he showed some promise last year when he had to play.
I mean, that game going back to, at Pittsburgh?
It was the Pittsburgh game that
he found out he had to start, like, right before the game.
He played well.
Because of Evan's back and Eugene's neck against the Steelers.
3-4, yeah, zone blitz.
He played well.
Played super well. So, just reason for excitement. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. You know, John,
need your starting five.
Yeah.
I mean, still need you.
But I mean,
we're not signing up to start on Sunday yet.
Having guys show something early on like that—that's
and that's true of a lot of positions. I mean, there's some depth around. You know, you don't. It sounds silly to say it because they were 5-11 last year, but there is some depth on this roster in a lot of spots.
All right, I'm gonna set you up here, John.
Sure.
You know, Brian and I, we do the game boards. You know, for preparation, and it's a depth chart basically,
which I appreciate.
And Tony gets to utilize the work as well.
I think that was a request, by the way, to have one.
I already asked. I'm way ahead of you.
And putting the game board together, you know, the one position that really kind of, I don't want to say shocked me, but I didn't really even kind of pay attention to it because, you know, Clint Session has the head injury.
Yes.
And he's not back. So he's on my board. He's in a color that shows that he's hurt. And the remaining guys at linebacker, I mean, I've got my starters, which are in, you know, teal. Or aqua, whatever you want to call
that,
it.
I like that,
too. And so Russell Allen, Paul Posluszny, and Daryl Smith, and then my color white is a veteran backup. And the only color white there is Kyle Bosworth.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other backups are all green, greenhorn, rookie. Yeah. And I'm looking at these linebackers, Joshua Jones, Brandon Marshall, J.K. Schaefer, Donovan Richard, Julian Stanford, and they're all rookies. And, you know, you may not have Clint Session for the entire year, and you sit there and you go, uh-oh.
Not a lot of depth.
Uh-oh. But
everybody you talk to, first of all, Brandon Marshall is playing well. But everybody you talk to, the buzz is about Julian Stanford.
57.
You know, from
Wagner College.
Yeah, Wagner.
Staten Island, New York.
You know, significant that Wagner College started following me on Twitter today. So I think they're interested. Yeah. So they're one of my three followers. But they,
congratulations, you're up to three.
He has shine from the beginning.
Carefully,
there was concern over the weekend. Not concern, but you're always waiting for the pads to go on. Not much of a drop off, and if anything, got better when the pads came on. I'd say he's going to be a guy who is a significant depth for this.
Did you see the pass that he blocked today?
Real nice play. Brandon Marshall also had one.
Right. Both the guys are very active.
But you know the thing that I think impresses me most about this young man from Wagner. Much like Cameron Bradfield last year, when he walked in the door, you went, oh, my, he's a rookie.
Right.
This kid is
– full-grown man.
He's a grown man.
He's a man.
And has not been intimidated by the situation yet.
No.
Now, it's safe to say, and I think everyone will agree, what we've seen so far of these young players is nice. But your first real evaluation is Friday night against the Giants when they are going to get some extensive playing time for about probably – 2.5 quarters.
Sure.
And you'll really see how they perform with other guys, going against other schemes. They have to think and react. They can't just go off a card or, you know, it's not a comfortable scenario. So it's very, at least at this point, we know that they still have the, they can play.
You're not excited, but you're encouraged.
You're encouraged, right. Because we've all been in situations where at this point, you've seen a guy and you go, he can't play.
Right.
I don't care what happens Friday night. I already know he can't play. These guys have taken the first step where we say, encouraging. They still have a chance that they can be good players. We'll see what happens Friday night when we play the Giants.
The other one that I actually have watched and I like what I see so far out of the rookie linebackers is J.K. Schaefer, number 59. Much like Julian Stanford, the kid from Wagner, and that physically he's put together, this kid Schaefer now, he's got bigger arms than Paul Posluszny.
I haven't noticed that.
You take a look at him. Next time you watch 59, take a look at the guns on 59. You know, he's a 6 foot, 230, 235-pound middle linebacker. He's very active. But physically, he's put together.
All right, folks, we need a break. We'll come back and talk with three pretty well-put-together guys.
Where?
Sally Locke and Ben Osher.
I'm looking around. I don't see any at this point.
Joe, it's yours. Take it, please.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and a whole bunch more. Stop by Gate today. More of Jaguars This Week coming up next on Jaguars Radio.
All right, about 7 minutes left. Don't forget, Friday night, Jaguars family scrimmage. It will be here at the stadium, 6:30. Everything starts at 7. Parachutes, fireworks, chance to win one of 90 jerseys. All the information, everything you need is at Jaguars.com. Did you have a Twitter question?
I did. Fresh Prince 8609.
All right.
There must be a lot of Fresh Princes out there. I asked, how realistic is it for that Blackman and MJD aren't going to be here for the first preseason game? And is there any chance that they're not here for the first regular season game? I think Blackman will be here before the first preseason game.
Right, I doubt he will be in time.
I don't think he plays,
but
he'll be here. I have no idea when Mojo's coming.
Right.
I think there's always a chance at both. You know, but
no,
you
there's
just,
no
you just
chance Blackman's not going to be here for the first regular season game.
You just don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that it's likely,
right.
But there's
I
a chance.
Now, the one that I don't have any sense of is Mojo.
No one has any sense of it.
I mean, he could walk through these doors right now and say, oh, I'm back.
Because
or he could never come through these doors again.
As you said, the problem is, if logic was taking control, he'd be here.
Because there's no negotiations going on.
Right. So
I think both sides basically realize there's not going to be a new deal.
Right.
And now it's
– and that's what makes you wonder, as you said.
You have no idea. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he walked in tomorrow, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's never here again.
But nobody has any clue.
It would surprise me a little bit if he's never here again. But I get your point.
No, but my point
I would be a little surprised.
Yeah, but – and I'd be a little surprised if he walked in tomorrow. I mean, that's my point. Right. There's no sense of what he's
– right.
What's going through his mind. Everyone knows he wants a new contract, but it's obvious that, at least from what we understand, that it's not going to happen. And I get no sense, no read.
There's no overriding –
like, Justin, word. You understand. I understand what they're arguing about. Now, I completely disagree with Justin's position or the agent's position that, you know, because the amounts agreed upon, the guaranteed amounts agreed upon, it's basically just when he gets it. And he put himself in that situation. No one else did. And so I disagree with their standpoint, but I understand what they're trying to negotiate and what they're trying to do. I don't understand the Mojo deal. I don't understand what is being accomplished at this point, except for us not having our best player and him losing $30,000 a day. Outside of that, doesn't make much sense.
At $5 million a year, and I know it's not on the nose, $5 million.
It's close enough.
Right, okay. He can go 166 days at $30,000 a day. In other words, he can miss the whole season, right, at $30,000 a day. The only problem is it's just
– and guess what?
He didn't make any money to pay the fine.
And guess what?
He's going to have to pay the fine.
You never
get it.
Get that money back.
Right.
Never. You never get it back. And guess what? The Jaguars still own your rights next year, and so you still can go nowhere next year.
Even more important than that, you'll never get that playing time back.
No, well, no. I mean, he can make the argument that
he'd be healthier.
I'll be healthier and everything else, but you'll never get that money back. You're never getting that $5 million back. and what it can do for you.
Sometimes you got to take your pride and
swallow it.
Put it in your pocket.
You get the sense that's it right now?
Yeah.
No, hey, sometimes, Jeff, you have to say, you know what? I lost that battle. Let me stick my tail between my legs and get back in there and go to work.
I swallow my pride almost every day.
Well, you have to. We didn't know you had any, but
what little I have, I spend a lot of time swallowing.
This is a really kind room. You can feel the love. 355 hey, NFL 1.
Let me be kind just for a minute to the kickers. You know, Scobie wasn't here all offseason. I mean, you know, nobody made a big deal of that. I mean,
right.
He's a kicker. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, he's going to have a new holder in rookie Brian Anger. Yesterday morning's practice was the most extended kicking that we saw Josh Scobie have in which Brian Anger held. Never missed one time.
He kicked well. Kicked the ball well.
Never missed one time. And in that same practice, Brian Anger was punting. And did you hear the oohs and the ahs coming from the stands when he was consistently kicking 50-yarders?
I was standing next to a scout who was timing it. The average on the kicks was 4.85 seconds hang time. Average.
Yeah, an average length was like 51.
52. Right. 52. And the kicks that were
how
shanked.
How about that? I wouldn't even write it down, and I guessed the average right there.
And see, you are brilliant.
Talent.
And you're brilliant.
And the kicks that one scribe said were not all that impressive were directional kicks that went 50 yards.
Yeah, he had a couple
50
got away from
directional
him.
I think Scobie, just for point of reference, I think he went 5 of 6. But nonetheless, he's been.
Oh, okay. He missed one.
5 of 6.
Yeah. Anger, just, by the way.
Maybe you're not as brilliant as we thought.
Anger, by the way, today was rugby-style kicking, where you kick the end of the ball end over end. You know, that's about a 40-yard kick. And he was kicking at 55. I mean, he was just – and he was kicking it high. He was so impressive today.
He's special. And there are some people who will never
credit
that.
Who
because
cares?
It's a three-round pick. But there's almost no question that he's going to help.
But does anyone
win game?
I mean, maybe this year still, but I don't. But next year, does anyone think of him? Does anyone care?
What round he was picked in?
Picked in at this point?
Oh, as a – yeah. Yeah, there will be media types, as we all know, who will harp on it. But, yeah, if he's effective, everybody will forget it.
So that
and
was,
there's no
that
doubt
was fun
be
to watch yesterday.
The bottom line, you know what you have to do in a draft? You have to draft as many good players
pick
as
good
you can.
Players.
Yeah, pick good players.
Well,
whenever
if you get a chance to a special player, no matter the position,
yeah, I don't
a special
care when.
Player, you take him.
When was Terrence picked?
Third round.
Good player.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he has the opportunity to be a great player. You know, when was Paul Posluszny picked for the Buffalo? Now he's a free agent here. He's the first
top
rounder.
Of the second round.
We're top of the second round. Yeah. Very good player. Moje, when was he picked? When was Daryl?
Bottom of the second round.
When was Daryl Smith picked?
Top of the first
I mean,
second round.
I mean,
round.
I mean yeah. I'm just saying, I'm giving you a list of very good players. When was Eugene Monroe picked? He was the first round. I mean, you can go down the list. Brad Meester, second round. You just have to get a bunch of good players. And the more good players you have in your team, guess what? You're going to win ball games.
All right. Well, that'll do it for our last one-hour show. At this point, next week, we'll be taking a quick breather and coming back and giving another
2 hours next week. I can't wait.
Getting ready for the New York Giants, the Super Bowl champs rolling in here for the preseason opener. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on Jaguars This Week. Good night.